Dr. RG is in the building, and she was on the Tamron Hall show yesterday.
Grab a mic, Doc.
Which is big. And so I'm just, like, I love the journey that we're all on. Like, Serena and I went to Hampton together.
Did you?
So we've known each other since undergrad.
The H-I?
We don't do H-I.
We don't do H-U. Thank you, yes.
Don't be disrespectful on the show.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Especially after I paid off my school loan.
That's so funny.
We're brothers and sisters.
Yeah, we are.
H-U together.
That's right. Wait, you went to Howard?
Oh, finally. So, look, Envy.
You went to Howard?
I went to Howard.
Oh, yes, that's why. That's what the shame was for.
I heard it when she said it, and I was like, wait, she went to Howard.
She must have went to Howard. That's the shame. I was like, that's why we need the thing. The shade.
The shade.
That's why I always say they took both of our money.
Oh, look, Envy.
I get in that argument all the time.
Look, Envy, she brought another copy.
Yay! And that's good because...
Right here.
Because I left your book, but that's good because now Eric's... We talk about your book every week, so we always have it.
She has a copy every week on the display of the books.
So Dr. Archie's in the building, and we're so excited that she's here. Shout out to her gorgeous husband, Morgan, who's in the building as well. I love that we're here on Valentine's Day. I was like, when I said, okay, we have a show on Valentine's Day, this is going to be the most dry show, and it's just not. It's just epic and rich. It's popping. Listen. I love it. I love it. I'm so glad.
Yeah.
And so tell us a little bit about your experience on Tamron Hall. What I was saying. I love our journey, and I love that Black folks is doing big things,
yes.
And I love that you're on Tamron and go.
Yes,
you got a whole book.
It was good. I got a whole book. I mean, my husband is amazing back there. We're doing the thing, and we're really having a good time. Tamron was gracious. Her team gave us wonderful hospitality. It's the first time I think I've gotten a handwritten note from the host of the show.
Mm.
Although you and I, you know, I'm on your show and, you know, the love is just abundant.
We have heart-shaped pizza.
Yes,
we don't have handwritten notes,
no,
but we do have heart-shaped pizza.
You always feed us some good stuff, healthy stuff. And we talk sex.
Mm.
That's what we talked about, sex.
Mm.
Yes.
Well, the whole of this month, we're talking about the art of being love. And the way that we're looking at love from this perspective is living our vision every day. We're looking at love as an element. And we were rolling around the concept of love last week about love being an element, you know, on the tape. What is it? The element table? The periodic table.
Yeah.
And then we were rolling around the concept that other languages have more words for love that mean different things than English does. Mm-hmm. So we are severely lacking. We use this one word love for everything, and it doesn't fit everything. And so we're stuck because of our lack of imagination, if you will, or our language, the fact that our language is really a hodgepodge of a whole bunch of different things. And so we're doing our best with what we have.
Mm-hmm.
We as a culture have been able to, we're really good at doing the best with what we have.
Yeah, we are.
And so now it's kind of like in that space, if we're looking at the space of abundance, that maybe it's time for us to create new language that means exactly what we mean.
Mm-hmm.
You get what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So from that standpoint, is love, you were talking about sex today, and we were talking about some current events. We were talking about Kobe's passing. We were talking about how there's kind of like this, the swelling of male energy that's very upset that Kobe passed. They were very upset that Gail brought up his past.
Mm-hmm.
They were really cool with
Snoop
being really rude, and they were extra cool that he apologized, but Gail is still canceled. Like this whole hodgepodge of stuff. Yeah. I know you know where I'm going to.
I see a couple comments on the Facebook Live about that.
Oh,
even
really?
Further in the conversation, just saying.
Okay, well, we can get to those.
Yeah, I'm just telling you.
Oh, you can read them, but
it's still hot.
So, like, from your experience as a therapist, we were talking about this. What is that? Is there a way to define what is that?
I don't know. I mean, I'm not sure if there's one definition of what that is, but if I can do my best to sum it up in one word, which is humanity. Right, like that we're these humans, right? Maybe perhaps spiritual beings having a human experience, and the frailties of the human, we're flawed, And so where I see us going, which I, to be honest with you, not that I was excited that Kobe passed. No one was excited. And we're all still grieving.
Of course.
And we're actually doing a segment about that tomorrow on Fox, right? Mm-hmm. About the grief process.
Yes.
And why people who didn't know him and didn't particularly like him even were in tears.
Devastated, yeah.
And devastated and grieving. And I think it's partly because he demonstrated to us that any one of us is worthy of forgiveness.
Mm.
We are also worthy of a second act or a second chance. Mm. And not one of us lives on this planet without having done something that either we're ashamed of or embarrassed about or that we would want someone to forgive us for.
Ooh.
Right? Not one of us. Right? But yet, we can sometimes sit on our righteous, bless you.
Thank you.
High horse, pretending as if somehow we haven't done anything to harm someone else and that we are not going to forgive someone when we're really worthy of forgiveness as well. So when you look at the polar opposites of Snoop, you know, who, you know, presented himself with all of this emotion and this aggression and this misogynistic term, these terms to describe women, a week after everybody was hashtagging girl dad, including him, right? And then you have Gail, who, you know, has this interview, thinks it's fine, made a decision to ask that question, which was a part of Kobe's past. But here's why I wasn't really upset about her asking the question. I was upset about her infusing the subjectivity into it when she said to Lisa Leslie, well, you wouldn't know.
Because you're his friend.
Or, you know, she didn't show up for the trial, so that's why it was dismissed. She infused her subjectivity.
Of course.
But the reality of it was a part of his past. It, quite frankly, was a part of his painful past. And if you follow him, at that point was pretty much the beginning of his transformation.
Yeah.
Because he then doubled down on trying to figure out, how do I then honor the fact that my wife has forgiven me and these people have trusted me to make better choices.
And I have all of these daughters.
Well, at that time, he didn't have all those daughters, right? But that, because he was in his early 20s. But no one knew that he would go on to have four daughters and have to be the model for his daughters of what it looks like to be both male and honor that masculinity and also honor and tap into his femininity.
Yes.
So he doubled down on transforming himself and turned that pain into power.
Yes.
And so I think that that in some ways is why we're really all grieving the loss of this ideal of what it looks like to work on being the best version of yourself. So that in the dash, which we all are in if we're on this planet, we leave it better than it was before we arrived here. That's the goal, right?
Yeah.
That's the gold standard.
I wonder, though, I mean, we can translate it that way. And of course, I want to see it that way because my rose-colored glasses are pristine, right? But I wonder if so many people aren't really looking at that. There's some other visceral thing that they're seeing in Kobe that they're not, maybe they're seeing in themselves or they're not seeing in themselves. You know what I'm saying? We were talking a little bit about this and we'll get into it when we come back from break. But I want to talk about that thing, like this visceral, this need to be violent with people when we're upset. You know what I'm saying? That's something else. You get what I mean? So let's talk about that. Dr. Archie's in the building.
Woo-hoo!
Yes. This is a
Valentine's.
Yeah,
we're having a good time.
Listen. We got Sarita in the building. We got Empress Naima in the building. We got Brother Shaman. Martin the Shaman now. I don't know what to call him anymore. And we have DJ Frosty Phoenix on the ones and twos.
And
I'm MVP.
She's gonna be taking the board.
Yeah, Bria the Brain. Bria the Brain. This is the MV McKee show. I'm MV McKee. We'll be right back.
Envy's Evolution is the Envy McKee Show.
Hey, we're Philly's own Kindred, the family soul.
Hey, what's up? This is Kevin Carr.
Hey, this is Lady Alma.
This is Greg.
And Halana.
And we are the Woke Bays.
Yo, what's up? This your boy Genuine right here on the Envy McKee Show. And I always stay tuned.
Join the Envolution exclusively on Word.
Welcome back. So we are now officially out of orientation and into the Woo Woo Metaphysical Studio. I feel like we need to have like some chimes or something that happens. Like you have chimes. some chimes or something, like the gong, something just to welcome us in. Yes, that's going to happen. So I'm looking at Frosty, and he's going to make that happen because he's good at that. And so in the studio, we have Dr. RG, we have Empress Naima, we have Sarita Scott, we have Bree Bree, and we have me. Look, I rhymed. And we are talking about the art of being love. And before the break, we were talking with Dr. RG about this really weird dynamic that we persistently look at. I have an idea that I think I know what it is. If we want to, you know, spiritual literacy it a little, mm-hmm. Where we are looking at how so many male folk have these visceral, violent reactions to things. You know what I'm saying? About everything. I was reading the statistic, and I don't know if it's related. Maybe it is. I was reading the statistic that there are 1,500 women who are killed by men every single day.
I'm not surprised. 1,500
women?
1,500 women every single day. And so we're talking about, like, in the course of a few days, we're talking about catastrophic levels of female people who die every day from physical violence. And we look at these things that happen in the media as these microcosms of this bigger problem, that we are raising male people to be these predatory beings. We tell them, you know, little boys, stop crying, man up. We're telling little boys, that's girlish. If we look at how we're looking at Dwayne Wade embracing his daughter, his trans daughter, in such an open, honest way, and we're seeing so many people having these visceral reactions about it. It's like, it's not your child. So you know what I'm saying? It's like, let that man love up on his kid. Let that family love up on their child, because they're people. But it's like, we have these very visceral, violent reactions to things. And I wonder, Dr. RG, if it comes from us not being accepted wholly and fully as people when we were children, not treated as people when we were children, treated as kind of like luggage. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Children are to be seen and not heard. I remember last time you were on, Sarita, you said, it's amazing how kind and compassionate I can be to my children in a way that I didn't receive that when I was a child. I feel the same way. So I know I'm throwing out a lot of stuff, but take what you need and run.
Yeah, I think, you know, fear, right? There's a lot of fear. There's a lot of there's a lot of pain. Mm-hmm. There's a way in which, when we think about what's going on in our culture, we have absolutely not resolved our trauma. And when we look at the visceral reactions of both men and women, but we're talking specifically about men, and the messaging that men, and let's be honest, with Black men who are under attack and on assault, they're being assaulted every day when they go out.
Absolutely.
And then anger begets anger begets anger, right? And so there has to be a release. And in some many ways, that release that's happening, it's happening in a toxic, misogynistic, aggressive way towards women, right? When you look at some of these men, and you have to think back, what happened in there? Let's peel back the layers. If you peel back the layers of an onion, what happens?
Mm-hmm.
It'll make you cry, right? Mm. So let's peel back the layers and look at what has happened that has been so traumatic to these men that subsequently, when they rise up and become adults, all they want to do subconsciously is harm the people, maybe even the gender, the species that harmed them, right?
Mm-mm.
Because hurt people.
Drowning people.
That's what's happening. People. We're all hurt and we're injured and we need to heal. But in order to heal, you have to feel, but you can't feel what you don't reveal.
Mm.
Right? So then that speaks to us having the courageous conversations. Those courageous conversations that go deep and wide, right? That we have to go back and look at what happened to us. Because we've got hundreds of years of trauma that we have not resolved, that ultimately has us hurting one another with our words, with our actions, with our deeds, with our aggression. And I can only point to the fact that we are all in pain.
Yeah.
And we have to do something about that because we're hurting each other.
Yeah. And I also think there's a lack of safe space. Oh, I feel like we don't have safe spaces.
Especially raising a child.
Yeah.
I mean, you know how easy it is to abuse your power?
Yes.
On someone who you feel doesn't have it.
Ooh.
Right? And so I know.
Wait, you got no.
Okay, you don't want
you,
me.
No, you, no, right, no, you can, no, you can continue on. I just want folks to marinate on that. You might even need to roll back and repeat that
abuse
again.
Abuse of power.
Listen, absolute power corrupts absolutely.
Yes.
Right?
And so I know for me, I'm so blessed to be amongst like these, my culture, the people that I walk in and out of Duafe, and the conversations that we have throughout the run of a day. I remember, you know, the shop is like 55% women, 45% men. So there's oftentimes when I'm walking in and it's just all men in the shop, and it affords them opportunity to have a safe space and have these conversations. And as we know, a lot of our men are raised by their mothers. Right. And so the brothers were all around talking about situations and circumstances that happened and how they were forced into some level of masculinity that just doesn't exist for anyone.
Hmm.
Right.
And we're not all masculine or all feminine.
Right.
We have both.
There's women who are I have a little mixture.
Right.
But, right. And so as they were talking and I'm listening because I am raising a son, not by myself, but with a tribe of people. But father isn't present. What they were saying is that their mothers beat masculinity. Don't cry. Don't do this. Boys don't do that. And that was from their own female selves of saying, okay, this is what you need to do because I need to prepare you for life and your father's not here. But what I heard these men say, the one thing that they didn't get at home is compassion, empathy, love, tenderness, sensitivity, understanding. And so when you're raised in that situation where you cannot express your feelings, your emotions, and how you think, aggression, rage, and so many other things come up.
And then this idea of everything is gay. You know what I'm saying? Like this
my
fear
son
of
is
me.
So sensitive.
Really?
He's kind, he's sensitive, he's loving, and once I acknowledged it, I embraced it.
But that's fear. The funny part is
that's fear.
I said really, like we all aren't born with the same 92,000 emotional crayons. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
We lose our ability to use the crayons based on societal pressure,
right.
But we all got the same crayons.
Right. Yes,
so it's not surprising to me. There's so many. I know so many young boys who are so sensitive and kind and generous and thoughtful.
They
and all those
are.
Things. Absolutely.
Well, you know
what's interesting?
But I will say,
go ahead.
Because you talk about fear, as a mom raising a son, that was the first feeling that I felt when I found out that he was a boy. It was this overwhelming amount of joy, then turned into this overwhelming amount of fear. And in that moment, I had to adjust because if I leaned in on the fear, I would have been that mother that did not show the compassion that he needed.
You know, it's interesting that, you know, I think that we have to be very careful because if we're not, the fear is in the driver's seat. And then it informs everything that we do. So when you're talking about envy, compassion, I believe that Kobe Bryant was dropping these pearls of wisdom because the universe was going to take him. He didn't know that.
Yeah.
But the universe did, right? That for me, God did,
yes,
right?
Yeah.
And so he was dropping these pearls of wisdom along the way. Up until 41 in terms of his transformation. And so one of the questions in the interview that I listened to, they asked him, what would you tell the young Kobe? What if you had some advice to give to him, what would it be? What do you think that you would have wanted to know a little bit earlier? And the one thing he said, in addition to perhaps he shouldn't have given so much to his family because they became entitled, was that he wished that he had been more compassionate. He wished that he had learned empathy because we don't give that to our boys.
We don't.
And I believe that much of that is out of fear because we think that we're
world
preparing
is, yes,
them for
that's
this
right.
harsh
and that's
world.
Not
And when they go out into the world, they're going to have to man up and they're going to have to deny themselves from their emotion. And so what we also saw in the last 3 weeks is that there were men who were crying and they didn't understand their emotion because they didn't have a relationship with Kobe, but it tapped into their sense of humanity because he represented them.
Yes.
And we were sort of, they were one in the same.
Yeah.
We got tapped into our mortality, the fact that tomorrow is not promised to any of us,
yes,
and that life can be way too short, or as you said, too long, but we sometimes feel like we've got more time.
Yeah. And then also,
it's a miracle.
I think this beautiful, thank you both of you for bringing us here, because we have been defining love as kind of like living our vision every day. And so we are preparing our boys for the world that we think exists and not the world we want to live in. You get what I'm saying?
Yes.
And it goes back to Dr. Jima when she says, really, what we suffer from is a failure of imagination.
Yeah,
we're not taught to, you know, sit. What kind of world do I want to live in? We don't treat the world the way we want to experience it. We're not showing up as the thermostat. We're showing up as the thermometer. And so we're raising our boys the way we've been, you know, experiencing life, not the way we want to experience
it. Right.
And so maybe that's what we're dealing with here.
And as far as the black folks, I'm sorry, for us as black people, and in particular, those who have dealt with this residual effects of slavery.
Yes.
Right? That trauma of over 400 years, 1619 to... It's all up in us. And the being ripped from one another, being raped, being, you know...
Pillaged, plundered.
All of that. That still is a part of our experience that we don't give ourselves permission to talk about.
That's right.
Because when we act like we want to talk about it, we're told we're too sensitive.
You're playing a race
car. This is the post-Obama era. You know, you're driving a car here. Why are you talking about these things? Well, we're talking about these things because they still affect us.
Yeah.
The injury and the trauma runs deep, and it impacts how we interact with each other every single day.
Yeah. Eckhart Tolle calls them pain bodies. And we have personal ones and we have societal ones. We have to go to break.
Yeah.
But this is a great way. Yeah. Listen, what you think? 215-634-8065, 866-361-0900. Do you agree or disagree with what we've just talking about? That literally we were raised through fear. We were raised a fear that society was going to eat us up and spit us out, and not from a place of, this is how I want you to go out into the world because this is the world I want to live in. You know what I'm saying? And do we have the capacity now that we understand different than our parents did to do that, to break these generational cycles? Because they really are just habits. They're systems, they're grooves. And if we can learn anything, we can learn anything, right? 215-634-8065, 866-361-0900. This is the MV McKee Show. I'm MV McKee. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Envy McKee Show.
If a tree falls in the forest and no one hears the sound, did it really ever happen at all? Did it really ever happen at all? I'll tell you this, I put the work in daily, so it's my belief I can't fall.
As we go into the well of the black pool of genius, August Green. Time meets worth, rhyme beats birth of a new day born again. Good morning then. These beginnings never form an end. Crowns of righteousness, not to see the thorns again. I argue with my aura. Am I born to win or born to sin? Maybe both contribute to daily growth.
Welcome back to the Envy McKee Show. I feel like we're about to do a song. Welcome to the Envy McKee Show. That's from the intro. That's from the intro. Welcome back. So it is Valentine's Day. Hi, Soul. Hi. I'm so glad that you're here. This is a safe space. We want you to know that. And we're glad that you're here joining us. We have some calls. We're talking about the art of being love all of this month. And so this is one of those interesting. I love Second Fridays because we take the riff that we started on the first week. And then now this is where it's we start to nail things down. We start to really build this thing. We're looking to create spiritual tools. That's what all of this month is about. It's about expanding our spiritual toolkit. A lot of us don't have that. We're not taught that. This is like most of the conversations that we have. I wasn't taught this as a kid. If I had been taught this as a kid, you know, my life would be different. And it's like, so here we are. You know what
right?
I'm saying? By the time we get through 12 months, we will have this gorgeous flower of life toolkit of spiritual tools that we can take out into the world and begin to have different conversations, begin to reframe the conversations we keep having with ourselves and with each other. And so I just want to say again, this is a safe space. And so Brother Samson from West Philly, welcome to the show.
Hey, good evening, y'all. How are you? Happy Valentine's
Day. Good. Happy Valentine's Day. What's up with you?
Yeah, I think that we kind of revel in the slave master teaching when we talk about how we were told, you don't pay no rent, you don't get no privacy, you know, things like that. You know, I think that they should feel that as a parent, you know, you're obligated to provide certain things. I don't see what would make a tougher person than a person who knows he's loved. You know what I mean?
What would make a tougher person than a person that knows he's loved? He was basically saying, we teach our kids all of these life skills, I want to say, but we teach them in the kind of this regimented way. Like, you have to pay these bills. You have to, you know, you have to live this very specific life. But we don't necessarily know how to love up on each other in a way. You know what I'm saying? This freeing. And he's basically saying, if you love up on somebody enough, that's what makes them strong and tough and resilient and able to go out into the world, you know, brave, because they loved.
Yeah, you know, but
he's like, yeah, well, you just took my whole comment, thanks.
Well, yeah, thank you, you know, but you know, we kind of think that we kind of like juxtapose it with what we say white people do, you know, that they over entitle the children, which in a sense, in a social macro social sense, they do.
Just because you give kids things, it doesn't mean you're loving them. Like, I feel like there are other opposite ends of the spectrum. Like, you can ignore somebody, give them everything, you still not loving them.
Trump,
you can,
right.
You know, think that you're loving your kid and you're just over, you know, burdensome, and you're still not loving them. So it's like
gifting them.
You know what I'm saying? Like, so I feel like you're saying the same thing. It's just different sides of the spectrum.
Right. So, you know, we have to celebrate loving them, building a man, building a soldier, building a warrior in his heart, instead of what the things you don't have because yada, yada, yada. And I'm sure the slaves heard that all the time. You know what I mean? You know, you know, so, but we sort of revel in that, like that's some kind of virtuous tradition. And it's not, you know? And I think it shows in the things we say and a lot of ways in our condition.
Very, 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 very good point. Thank you, Brother Samson, for calling in. Okay, so Mariama from North Philly, what's up? Welcome to the Envy McKee Show. Happy Valentine's Day.
Hey, look, baby, hey. I'm sending you love. I'm feeling you, okay?
Okay.
I'm feeling you. It's like everything is related. And, you know, if we would just focus on the hell with what we ain't got. What you got? If you want, got your hand out, you got a right to pull it in or pull it back or drop it down. You have choices. We come from, whether you're a single parent or many parents, there was love. Whether somebody took something from somebody aggressively, you know what I'm saying? And you got it, and you said, you know what, I'm going to nurture and care for this because this is still a part of me. This is the better part of me. That's why we here. Whatever it was, my grandmother and my great-grandmother, I knew my grandmother, 98 years, my grandfather, 100. You hear me? My mama to this month would be whatever age, the 24th. I'm not loving today. You know what? I realize I love myself. Matter of fact, there are days I don't like me, but I say I really love. When I put my head down, I'm thankful for whatever I got, whatever she was, because I'm looking at her. Something you see in someone else maybe is something you see in yourself you don't like. You know,
okay.
Like something in somebody, you'd be like, la, 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 and then all of a sudden you'd be like, man, that looked like me when I was. It's, you're going to love them. It's your responsibility to take care of your, whatever it is.
Okay.
You do what you die to do, and you give what you can give. Am I right?
Yes.
You on it.
And yes.
All I'm saying is, it ain't February. It's every day. Sissy Belair. Allah love his creation. I love you, sister.
I love you too, sister.
Because Allah love you. So I love, I'm part of the creation, ain't you?
Yep. Are you part of creation?
Who? I'm brown and I'm down.
Yes. Thank you so much for calling, Mariama. 215-634-8065-866-361-0900. I believe what she was saying, that self-love is the first love, and lots of us don't love ourselves.
Mm.
So I believe, yes, I'm being called to translate today. I believe what I
translation
heard
is good.
Yes, I believe what I heard was that it's very complicated to love up on other people if we don't love ourselves.
Facts.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Facts. Hmm. Facts. Because I think that is where it starts.
Hmm.
And I think that, you know, it's important. On the break, Sarita was saying that, you know, having her child took her to therapy to begin to work on herself. And I think that we as Black people often did not get the memo.
Yeah.
That we can actually, we go to the doctor, we go to the dentist, we would go to someone that deal with, if we got a broken arm, we'd go to the emergency. But if we're having emotional issues or we're trying to figure out our own mental wellness, we won't go to the therapist. And when we're talking about self-love, we got to put our oxygen mask on first, because we as women are very much taught to give out, to externalize our resources. And we give so much and we pour out so much that we're left empty.
Yeah.
And then we don't know why it is that we're so angry,
yeah,
or so upset.
Yeah.
And then we have children, and if the child represents someone who's harmed us, even though we love that child, we will take our frustrations out on that child, not realizing that that cycle will repeat itself.
We're triggered.
We get triggered. Mm-hmm. So you find a grown man who, I've seen many clients that, and I've challenged them, like, you don't really like women. Right? But then you peel back the layers, the reason
like
why they don't like,
there you
he
go.
Don't like,
yeah,
his mama. There you go.
Yeah.
And he wouldn't like the mama if the mama cussed at him and called him. I mean, I get in trouble for this by my husband, but if I see a mother or a parent injuring a child in any way, because I'm a mandated reporter in the first place, but for me, it's even yelling, screaming, and cursing. I will roll down my window. I have done it in the Rite Aid parking lot and said, listen, I'm a mandated reporter and I'm going to call the police on you. And she's like, oh, it was his fault. He ran into the street. No, it's not his fault for running into the street. You're the adult.
Mm.
And talking to a child, yelling, screaming, and cursing is not okay. It's not okay.
Can we all be mandated reporters?
I do it.
Listen.
Because I am determined to keep my business always in our community. So I experience some of the things that happen in our communities. And so when I am walking and I see that, I usually just pull aside and I'm like, sis, you know, you have this opportunity to have a sense of power over her, but him or her.
Mm-hmm.
But what's going to happen when you get older? You're going to need your butt wiped. You think they're going to want to do that? You know what I mean? Like, and I'm always like, you know,
we need to listen. This is a whole other class, because I get afraid. I'll look at something.
It's how you do it.
It's delivery. I will pray over people and I will bless people, but I'm afraid to step in. Like I want to do more. I would love to be one of those people where I feel safe enough and in other people's pain to kind of interject myself.
But sometimes it's just showing a level of compassion. Like I realize that by the time women hit my chair, they're not, in most cases, being heard, cared about, loved on. They left. They're dealing with their own challenges, trauma, issues. And if you have not identified any of that and you haven't learned how to deal with it, aggression is going to be how you communicate, how you treat people. And let's even think, if you're treating somebody like that, what's your thoughts?
And what you said it a little bit earlier, the abuse of power, right? So the abuse of power. So you're talking about people who feel powerless, and therefore then the only way that they can exact some level of power is to people who are less powerful than them, right? The people who are vulnerable. Well, who are those people? They're women, in many cases, as it relates to men, or their children as it relates to adults. Hmm. And so we can all find ourselves, even Black people, in a position of power because it's fluid. There were times where we're in a subjugated position, where we're receiving, we're being victimized or assaulted or othered or marginalized or degraded. And there are other times where we can take that pain, right? And as opposed to turning it into healthy power, we can use it to injure someone else because we've been injured.
Hmm.
And so that's the real conversation to be having with ourselves, because sometimes we get real righteous. We get real righteous.
Yeah. And we forget that we're doing it.
Exactly.
How do we shift that? How do we, of course, I feel like being self-aware and having a meditation practice gives you kind of a lens, a mirror into your own self. But is there something for people who maybe don't get into meditation, if they're not reflective in that way? Is there a way, you know, a tool that someone can use to kind of recognize that we all have this?
Well, I hope that we all would honor the process of perhaps going to therapy or a spiritual advisor or someone who can you can have that conversation and be, you said it earlier, create a safe environment for that person to begin to really unpack. Right.
Yeah.
The injury, because it's in the unpacking that they begin to understand themselves, both as perhaps a victim, but possibly a perpetrator.
Yes. Right. Do you think that most people don't even see themselves? You know, they I'm always mesmerized. I'm like, it astounds me that there are so many bullies in our schools and the parents are oblivious that their kids are bullies. And I always go, but you're probably the one that's bullying them. You know what I'm saying? That's where they learned it from, because things don't happen in a void. You know what I'm saying? But it's always that. Well, I didn't teach him that.
Or sometimes it's not them being bullied by their parents. It's their parents not parenting.
There it is.
You know.
And that's neglect.
Right. Yes.
But neglect. Sometimes they don't know how.
Right.
Right. I always think of Dr. Maya Angelou, who owned a brothel, right? And she was abused, we know. I know why the cage bird sang.
That's right.
She was abused. She went on to do some amazing things, but she would say, I did the best that I knew how to do, and when I knew better, I did better. And she had a son who was a little boy who was walking through this brothel, seeing things that he shouldn't have seen, being treated in ways he probably shouldn't have been being treated.
Yeah.
And yet, she... I believe, as we all are worthy of forgiveness, and then doing the work, if we can, the necessary work of transforming ourselves to become the better version of ourselves. It takes a lifetime, quite frankly.
It takes a lifetime. And that's interesting that you said that. I want to unpack that a little bit. How Maya Angelou, for all intents and purposes, she went on to live this extraordinary life. And we don't really talk about sex work, but we are really hard on sex workers, like to the point of ridiculousness. We hoes, you know what I'm saying? All kinds of stuff. I'm saying we, but because it's a collective, I'm not a sex worker. But I'm just saying. But I do. But okay, listen, if I thought for one second that it would do something beneficial for humanity, listen.
I'm joking.
But anyway, saying all of that to say, I do want to take a pole dancing class. That has nothing
that
to do with anything.
That is the hardest thing
I heard.
Ever.
Bree takes them.
Be working on your core.
Bree talks about it. So anyway, like I feel like we're going to break. I see him looking at me crazy. But I have to say, finish my thought. 215-634-8065-866-361-0900. I'll finish my thought when we come back. This is the Envy McKee Show. I'm Envy McKee. We'll be right back. He's looking at me.
You
like,
are.
Thank you.
listening to the Envy McKee Show.
Can you tell the love that I need? I need someone to revive me. If you give me a reason, I'll be with you through the seasons. And we'll share of our skin like trees to release me to the clouds. Together down on winter breeze and rest in the earth intertwined.
I love a Mel LaRue. Welcome back to the Envy McKee Show. I'm Envy McKee. We are unpacking all of this month, the art of being loved, that is living our vision every day. And on our Starlibus, if you pull up your Starlibus, you would know what we're talking about today. And I need my other phone, my other phone. So we were asking some questions, and one of the things that we came up with last week that I'm so glad that Dr. Arju's here, because I wanted to run this by her.
Love it.
We understand that love, the way that we're defining it, is living our vision every day. But then there's another aspect of it. We wanted there to be some sort of actionable step, something that we can do when we think of love, you know, love being an action, you know, an action right. word. We wanted to kind of look at love, and so how do we use it as a way to move forward? So I'm thinking of love, I'm like, what can I do with this? So the very first thing that we came up with was to the L being listen. Listen to spirit. Life is always speaking. And are you listening? That's the idea. And then O, be open to an insight, to a miracle, to hearing what you don't want to hear, to receiving. And then the V would be vulnerable, be willing to shift. And then the E would be both empathy and equity. Are you willing to shift your position? Are you willing to shift your power so that someone that has less than you can be in the space where everybody is on equal footing? You know what I'm saying? And so that aspect. And so I was asking Dr. Arju behind the scenes, you know, we came up with this, but what are the, you know, what are the physical steps? How do we actionize it? I just made him a word.
Actionize
it. You know?
I'm going to use that one tomorrow.
We make up words here.
Yeah,
I love it.
Expand the language.
Yes.
I love it. I love what you're doing because you're putting good energy out there. So we're thinking about love from a point of listening. Too often we don't listen to ourselves. So how do you do that? One, you have to stop, right? Because the world is moving so fast. We're constantly on this little hamster wheel. There's social media. There's technology. There are demands every single day. And we live in a culture where the order of the day is to perform. And if you're not performing, then you're fired, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so it puts us in a place of fear that if we slow ourselves down, we rest, we breathe, we listen to ourselves, to our heart, to our emotions, to everything around us, even the birds, the trees, the wind, all that stuff, because what's happening is we're not showing up present. We're not present.
We're just on the hamster wheel.
We're on the hamster wheel.
And we're undervalued. Like, we're fact that we're being overworked, but we're not being paid our value.
Right,
and we're being taught to accept less.
Right.
And so now we're having conversations about abundance. And we ain't. We stripped.
Right. But we're also brainwashed to believe that we are supposed to operate in lack when in actuality we're on this planet to operate in abundance.
Come on now.
Abundance of everything, of love, of peace, of joy, of resources.
Yes.
It's here for us.
Yes.
But the mentality that we've been taught and socialized is it's not here for us. Or it's only here for those people, those men, those white people, those rich people. It's only here for those people. So there's this hierarchical system that was built based on social constructivism, right? It's like this ideology that was thought of by men and women, perhaps, people with resources and power to put other people down and put other people up. And so listening to that, that I believe begins the process of change, right? Most of us don't like change. I've heard people say we'd rather live in an unknown hell than a known.
A known hell than an unknown future,
right? Because we don't like change, even though we know it's good for us.
Yeah.
So thinking about that, and then Sarita and I were talking about the openness.
Yeah.
Right.
For O.
You know, it's really are we open to the possibilities of transforming to live a better life and be a better version of ourselves? Which really means that we're going to have to let some stuff go. And that's the hard part, because we get very familiar with even things that are not good for us.
Yeah.
So letting go of people, letting go of places, letting go of things, letting go of language, letting go of the way in which we operated. So if we're a procrastinator, to learn how to be more proactive, due diligent and proactive, like having a work
ethic.
That's
mine, y'all. That's mine.
It's really, really hard, right? Yeah. And then just being open to whatever the universe offers to you in that level of abundance, because we start shutting people out, right? Because we're fearful that we will get hurt. And society has shown us that perhaps there are not as many safe places as there should be. So as a result of shutting people out, we also shut ourselves in. Then we operate in these silos,
yeah,
where we're just these individuals that is about being selfish versus selfless.
Yeah. And it's also self-preservation. Mm-hmm.
And self-preservation.
The Course in Miracles, which I love, the Course in Miracles is talking about that being it is not a God concept to be afraid of each other, because we're all this one thing.
Yeah.
And so we understand that we as spiritual beings cannot be hurt. It's the ego that is being hurt.
Right.
Tussle with the ego is really what it is.
Look, for me, when I think of a miracle, it's putting yourself out there to do something new that may have some fear, and you're on that tip of, and that tip becomes a tipping point.
Yes.
You know, miracles
just
is
a shift in consciousness.
When you've decided to do something outside of yourself and you see how God swoops in.
Listen! Like,
you know, so, right. I mean, so when we talk about being open, we're talking about
that was
being
a miracle.
Right. When we talk about being open, it's also about, you know, testing your angels and praising God in a process.
Faith? How about,
you know,
faith?
What I mean?
Right?
Well, that's all of
right?
that for
right?
me.
Because right? faith and fear do not reside in the same space.
Listen.
We talked
yes,
about the yes,
right?
Lord.
And so, yeah, it.
And so
if we're actionivizing this, so listening would be what?
Yeah.
Why not?
We're sitting in
meditation for the L, right? What are we doing for the open? Are we taking long walks on the beach?
I would say open is resetting your mindset,
okay,
right? Because it starts with that
affirmations,
process.
Maybe.
Affirmations, beginning to test yourself with regards to allowing yourself to be a little bit more vulnerable. So practice.
Practicing,
opposed to not receiving a compliment, for example, receiving it.
Right.
Because remember, we're walking around very closed.
Yeah, yeah.
So just practicing the art of whatever you believe would be open to compliments, open to opportunity.
And you know, for me, when I think
faith.
Yes, Lord, when I think of being open, I also think when that little voice that's not your friend swoop in and tell you, enforce you and cage you in those same behaviors, it's saying the Lord's Prayer to break it. So when I used to hear that voice,
right,
when I will hear that voice, I will break it. I will cut it off with something positive.
I say I'm available to more good than I ever hoped for, realized, imagined, or manifested in my life before. What about for V, vulnerability?
I love the vulnerability, right? Because I think that I know that we are born as relational beings, which then requires that we be in intimate relationship. Intimacy really means into me see.
I like that.
Right? And so if that really truly is the case, right, if that's a truth, a principle, then what is required to be in these intimate relationships is a portion of vulnerability. So then we have to start stripping down the ego, right, and get to the spiritual part. Lisa Nichols says, act as if you have nothing to prove, nothing to defend, and nothing to protect.
Listen!
Right? So if you're walking in your truth and you're walking in faith and not fear, then you can be walking in a way where you're not trying to protect yourself. You're not trying to defend yourself. You're not trying to prove yourself.
Treat the world the way you want to experience it.
Exactly.
Trusting that there's something bigger making this thing go, right?
And show up open
okay.
with vulnerability.
Mm. What about the equity, empathy? Is there an action step for that?
I would say equity and empathy they're partners. They're distant. They can be close cousins, right?
Okay.
And so what that means is really repurposing your mindset to think about how it is that you are in a powerful position, and then you have the power to lift people up versus put people down.
To amplify other folk.
Exactly. And being
that,
willing to do that, to let go of that power, right, for someone else. Being willing.
Dr. RG has to go. So that's why I wanted to get that off. I wanted to get all that. But her book, where is it? Come over here.
Oh, maybe here.
Her book.
I don't know where the camera is.
It's right here.
Here.
Her book, Courageous Conversations Connect, is available where, Dr. RG? Where is this book?
I don't even know where I'm looking at. I'm looking right here.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Where can we order your book?
Right there. Oh, you guys can get the book at drrgconnects.com. It's our website. Just go on the website. Amazon.com. You can also get it. And
that's Amazon.com, yeah. Dr. RG Connects. And every Tuesday at the star_people_ish, that's our IG, that's the official show IG, we're doing it every week. And we're on week 6. Where we have courageous conversations, and we just take a blurb from the book for the week, and you can get your own book and continue. It's like, it's a year-long program. It's like, this is about progress healing. Over perfection. And we're healing. We're having courageous conversations. Let me tell you, this has helped, you know, I'm a newlywed still, and this has helped tremendously, because I get to look at some of these ideas and practice them with my husband.
I love you.
So that I don't.
I would love to give it away at the shop. Not give it away, but
we
have books all over the salon.
Yes.
So I have a lot.
Look at
of
this. We're about to have our book club. We're going to have our book party at Duwafe.
No,
watch.
It's important because, you know, oftentimes as brown people, we go to hair salons and barbershops to spit out our feelings. And the reason why I say spit out, because you may be spitting on the wrong space. Because you need professionals. There's a list of therapists that when that sister or brother hit my chair, I'm like, well, you should call this person.
You should call Dr. RG.
You should
RG.
Call that person. You should call them because, listen, a healthy life is wealth.
Listen.
Yes.
It's just wealth.
Check up from the neck up.
Yes.
Check up from the neck up. We got so many. 215-634-8065. 866-361-0900. It is Valentine's Day. And these two lovebirds, Dr. RG and Morgan, they're going to go out and be fast and do what grown folks do, minding their business.
Listen, we're a little older, so we will be going home early. We got to get up early. So
still, you could have kept it where it was. You know, we could be like, oh, it's getting juicy.
Let me have a fantasy, please. My God. We could have been in a fantasy.
Yes, right.
Live
right. And Eric is talking about he going to bruise me up. You see him when he's from back. I saw. I look just showing with your facial. Like, what you doing? Anyway,
talking about love, Eric.
Love. Living our vision every day.
Not tough love.
We're going to break. This is the Envy McKee Show. I'm Envy McKee. Shout out to Dr. RG Allen. We'll be right back. Okay.